If we're now starting Malachim Beis, which is really a continuation of Malachim Aleph, it really brings down the klalil, the curse of the Navi of the family of Achav, that his whole family will be extinct, and we're now going to see in Malachim Beis, we're going to see that curse coming into fruition. And this is really just the beginning of it, but we'll see what happens. We'll see how it takes place.
Actually made divided these two parts of one and two. Why is this Malachim one, Malachim two?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know why it's divided up like that.
The reason is the printing press was controlled by the Catholic Church, and they took Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Beis because that was just arbitrary. They came up with the Pesukim and everything else, all the sentences, and they put numbers on it. All this is from the Catholic Church.
It was just Malachi.
Mm-hmm. So, because it really has nothing to do with the actual story. Mm-hmm. The story is really a continuation.
Yeah, but that's the reason.
Good to know.
If real Ezra, he made, for example, first volume, second volume, it's his decision how to make story divided by different volumes. But this is not clear who actually, what time is what made two different parts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe too easy to reference or something like that. Because this is the same time.
Yeah, break. Yeah, same time, yeah. No break, yeah. It's really a direct continuation from the story, the end of Malachim Aleph, you're right. There really is no good reason to split it in two.
Chapter 5, Pasuk 9, it's by the church. All they did this.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's good to know. Thanks for sharing. So Moav decides to take advantage of the fact that Achav was killed. And apparently they owed taxes to the Jewish people every single year. Once Achav died, they figured, okay, we don't have to pay our taxes anymore. The cat goes away, the mice come out to play. Now, without any connection to Moav stopping to pay their taxes, Ahaziah was the son of Moav, son of Achav, sorry. He fell through the screen on his on the second floor of his house, Sharbasharman, Vayachal Vayishlach Vayachal, and apparently he got sick, or he was injured in some way. Vayishlach Malachim Vayamar Leim Lchud Dirshu Beval Zvuv. So he's really worried, apparently. Apparently he was pretty deathly ill. And he sends messengers to consult with Baal Zvuv, who was the god of Ekroin. Again, it's not Hashem in any way, shape, or form. This is an Avodah Zarah. It's an idol.
I mean, it just... What is this has to mention where he fell?
It has to mention where he fell because
through the thing, it tells you for a reason.
Yes,
he could see for that there was he must have done something wrong.
Right.
That he felt that he got injured and now he wants to know if he did something bad or not.
Right. So the Malbim actually points out that the reason why it says over here where he fell was because apparently the Aliyah, the second floor of his house, is not a place where you were supposed to fall. It's not a typical place where you fall. Because it's one thing if you fall, I guess, on your porch, right? You're on the porch and you can easily fall because there's no wall over there. But the second floor, there's a wall right there. It's not very typical for someone to fall from their second floor. Apparently, it sounds like he fell through the window, which wasn't very common. So it sounds like it was something that should have been a message for Ahaziah, to wake up. Hashem is sending a message, wake up, don't continue in the ways of your father.
That's what I said, that's why he's mentioning where he fell.
Right. That's the reason. Don't continue the ways of your father.
You wouldn't even think about it if it was a dangerous place.
Right. It wasn't dangerous. So it was a wake-up message for Ahaziah to not to go in the ways of his father, but unfortunately he did not take the message. And instead of returning to Hashem, he goes and consults Baal Zevuv. Now notice that he's unlike his father consulted who? His father consulted the Baal.
Oh.
But Ahaziah consults somebody else. Why does he consult somebody else? Because he realized that the Baal didn't exactly work out so well for his father. So at least he took one message, right, from his father that it didn't really work out for the Baal, but instead of returning to Hashem, he went the other way, which was a mistake. So he's like, guess what? Baal doesn't work out. So let's pick out a new idol, right? Let's go to Baal Zevuv.
Isn't that the name of a movie? The Lord of the Flies?
The Lord of Flies?
Lord
of the Flies, something. Maybe. Maybe the movie, is the movie about Ahaziah, the son of Baal? The son of Ahav? No. Could be. Now, the Malbim says the reason why he went to this god specifically was because apparently the priests of this idol were able to somehow figure out who is going to live and who is going to die. That was their specialty. That was the area where they received their image or their prophecy. And that's why he consults with them specifically and not any other idol. But the Baal is for sure not working. That he knew for sure. So let's see weiter. Malach Hashem Dibra Eliyahu Tishbi. A Malach comes to Eliyahu Tishbi and he tells him, Kum likras malachim alach shemayin. Go ahead and approach the messengers of the king of Shemayin, which is Ahaziah. V'dabar lehem amimblin Elohim Yisrael, and Elohim Yisrael. There's no God left amongst the Jews. Dem holchem lidrash b'val zvuv Elohim Ekrein. You have to go to a different god, a different idol. Why don't you consult with the real God? V'lechen, koyamar Hashem, hamita asher alis Hashem leiterid mimena kimois tomus. V'yelech Eliyah. So the message that Eliyahu is supposed to give to the messengers of Ahaziah is, first of all, don't go to the king himself. Rather, go to the messengers. And you should rebuke the messengers, not for what Ahaziah did, rather for what they did. They should not have listened to Ahaziah, their king. They should have gone to the real God, to Hashem. And he's telling them, is there no God? You have to go to a different God. Is there no God left amongst the Jewish people? Now it sounds like when he's telling them, I'm Mibli and Elohim Beisrael, the Malbim says this was actually the words of Eliyahu Navi. Not Hashem's words, meaning Hashem just wanted him to rebuke them generally. And Eliyahu HaNavi took it upon himself to give them personal rebuke for not consulting Hashem. That's what Eliyahu did. He took matters into his own hands.
He says he went to them because he got no response from the Baal.
Who didn't get a response from the Baal?
That's why he sent him.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's what we mentioned
previously.
Before
he sent them there, I guess he says he did this because he received no response from Baal, the local deity.
Right. And yeah, he said the Baal didn't work out.
Anyway, we talk about the Baal all the time. Exactly, what is the Baal? What is it? What did they see that they prayed to? What? What tangible thing is there? Is it must be tangible or something.
Talked to him. It was the
ball. It was one of the.
They must have saying. They believe this object is God. What was it?
It was the star of what's the red star? What's it called? Which star is red?
The what?
There's a star that's red. Was it Jupiter?
Mars.
Mars?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they worshipped the star of Mars.
The planet.
The planet of Mars. Yes.
They worshipped the planet of Mars.
Yes, that was apparently the source of their power. That's why when they, when the whole test with Elio, when Elio was trying to prove that they're not real, right, and he does the whole ceremony of they have to daven, they have to pray to their God to see if he's going to bring down fire. It says they cut themselves with so they would shed blood, because just like Mars was red, they were trying to appeal to his powers, so to speak, and bring out the color red within themselves. So that will hopefully awaken their God.
Well, did they know there were more planets?
Sure. Probably.
Sure.
Probably, yeah.
Huh?
Of course.
So why did they pick Mars?
Why did they pick Mars? I don't know. But that was, I don't know exactly the whole theology of this idol.
It's going to be a reason.
Paro knew Mars.
Huh?
Paro also, they knew astronomy.
I know they knew astronomy, but I'm just saying why they picked this
over the others.
Now, there must be something that happened that showed them there was some kind of power.
Yeah.
Illusion. It's an illusion, actually, because it's not true. It's an illusion. You can make, you think you see something, like in a movie, it's an illusion.
Right. It's a good question. I don't know.
I'm just, we talked about what was it? What did they see that they thought that this thing can help them?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a good question.
The color of red, for example.
The color red?
Like the Greeks, too. The Greeks and the Romans, they also worship the planet Mars. Why? Because one of the gods.
I mean,
they're red. Why red? Because meant for blood, like strong and wars and strength.
Pyro saw red also.
Well, Pyro saw red about Moshe.
Yeah.
He saw that was, he saw red about the Jewish people.
People.
Right, and he saw that their downfall will come with red. That's why. Yeah, but Hashem turned it into Dam Mila. Hashem turned it into to the blood of circumcision. And that was, he changed their fate, so to speak. But, yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. Maybe because men come from Mars.
What was the god of Ekron? What was that?
What was it?
Yeah.
I don't know much about that, Avodah Zarah.
Was it another planet?
I don't know.
Something else? It's got to be something. It can't just pray to something that's not there.
Right. It's a good question. I don't know. Okay. I'll have to look more into that. I don't know much about it.
Usually if we want to receive message from Hashem, there is somebody is coming near you to contact and send message to you. But
Ekron is the name of a city.
We want to know from what actually well communicate with this Baal. There is also fake Nivim.
Baal's a boob.
You want to know from Baal his...
Well, Ekron, Baal's a boob. What is it?
What is it?
How do you communicate?
It's a little statue or something.
You would speak to the prophet.
Huh?
Uh-huh. Who told
or a prophet or the priest.
It was, they worshipped idols. Yes. Idols is a little statue or something.
Idols. They worshipped,
for this particular idol, they had a priest.
Different. Why should he not, we don't have Baba go to Ekron?
Ekron, I told you Ekron was a city.
Yeah.
So?
They go to the prophet, right?
So right. Believed in this, in this idol,
which was with there has to be some tangible. There were
Bilam, he was a prophet,
worshiping the streets of
prophet,
the city.
So, I mean,
right. Uh-huh. Right.
For his, they were messengers.
Right. Right. Anyway. Well, Bilam, it sounds like he was the only real prophet they had. He was really communicating with Hashem. These other prophets were not communicating with Hashem. They were communicating with some other power of sorts. Meaning back then, when they had idols, they were communicating with the spiritual force behind the physical planet of Mars. Right, which is a real power, right? A real spiritual force. Every nation has a spiritual force. And anything physical has a spiritual force. Without that, without the spiritual force behind it, it can't exist. Can't go on. So what the idol worshippers are doing, they're tapping in to that that spiritual force that's standing behind the physical planet or the physical whatever it is. What they don't realize is that it goes even further, right? Hashem, he stands even above those spiritual forces, and he controls them as well, right? So they're just they realize something, but they're stopping there. They're not going even further.
Yeah, but
that's their problem.
Something must have happened from that spiritual force. They should believe in it.
Right, I don't know what happened.
It's there. There's a spiritual force. But they picked that spiritual force no better than a spiritual force of a different planet.
Right.
What's the difference between a planet and a star?
I'm not talking about different planets. I'm talking about the spiritual force. For them for you or anybody else to believe in a spiritual force, this force must have showed them something. They had to feel it. Like if you're saying every planet has a spiritual force. Okay, fine. But they didn't go to a different planet, they went to this one.
Right.
They must have felt something from there.
It made an eclipse.
Yeah, it doesn't. The Aztecas do that. I mean, they sacrifice when they saw the eclipse.
Because the eclipse comes from the sun.
So like the moon.
So exactly.
It's moving all the time, you see. The stars basically so far away you don't really see them moving.
Right.
Maybe that, for that time they was, I mean, if you see that years ago, not the heaven, I don't know, was more clear than this time. So maybe they was living something on the top or mountain and they can see something. I don't know, maybe the red color and they, I don't know, call attention for that, I don't know. Because the time was too different. Don't forget, before you, somebody can see to the heaven, you can see something different because it was more clear. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or, you know, they wasn't focused too with the planets. That what they was follow. So.
Right. Okay. Let's see further. So the messengers turned to Ahaziah. And they listened to the rebuke of the Navi of Eliyahu, and he tells them what's going on. So they tell him, "V'yomer elav ish ala likrasenu, v'yomer aleinu lechush shuvu el hamelech asher shalach eschem, v'dibartem elav koy amar Hashem amibli en elokim beYisrael. Atah shalach lidresh beval zvu v'like Elohei ekrain, l'chein amita shalit hashem v'yitered mimena kimoyis tamus." So what do they tell him first? They change the order. First they say, this is what the Navi said. Is there no God amongst the Jews that you have to go to Eliyahu, right? And therefore, because you went to consult with the God of Ekron, you will not get up from the bed that you're now sick on. You will die from this sickness. Now, they were afraid to tell him what actually happened. They were afraid to tell him that he rebuked them for listening to the king. Because clearly they're talking to the king. They don't want to tell him, oh, you know, you rebuke us for listening to you, and that's why we returned. That's why they presented it in a way where all of this were the words of the Navi. This is the message that the Navi sent to you, not for us. But in fact, Eliyahu was telling them why they listened to Ahaziah and why they didn't go consult the God of the Jews, Hashem. So what goes on? Vayedaber aleihem mem mishpat ha'ish asher alu likraschem. So he turns to them and he says, tell me about the man that you found, that you saw. Who was he? Vayedaber aleichem es hadvarim el. Who was the man who told you, who gave you this message? He's trying to figure out which prophet this really was. Why? Because first of all, it was very weird. The prophet usually came to the king himself. He would give the message directly to the king. And furthermore, the message was for who? According to what they said, the message was for the king too. He didn't know that the message partially was for his messengers. That they should have gone and asked Hashem. So he's saying, if the message was for me, why didn't the messenger, the prophet, come to me himself? Come to me directly? So he's trying to figure out what the options were. Either it's a Navi who is not Muchzak, who does not have a previous record of being a real prophet, or maybe he's dressed in rags, and that's why he does not want to come to the king, because it's not honorable to address the king while you're dressed in rags. That's why he's asking, tell me about the person. Right? What did he look like? What was he wearing? Was he wearing rags? Was he wearing a $2,000 suit? What did he look like? And also, the one who told you these words, meaning the one who told you and not me. Because by giving the message through a third party, that is a way of disrespecting the king. When you disrespect the king,
you get killed.
You get killed, exactly. That's why he's trying to figure out what's going on over here. He has a lot of question marks in his head. Pasuk Ches, V'yomer Elav, Ish Baal Se'ar, V'ezer Or, Ozer B'Mosnav. V'yomer Eliyo HaTishbihu. So he tells him, they tell him, the man who addressed us had long hair. Meaning what they're doing over here they're trying to suggest a reason why he didn't come to the king himself. Because they picked up on why Ahazi was so surprised that he didn't come to visit him. So they're trying to kind of justify why Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come to Ahazi. They're telling him, you know why he didn't come? Because he has very long hair.
Yeah. Like Yosef, he had to come to Paro, you know.
Right.
They cut his hair and they dressed him up. You just don't come to the king
exactly
dressed like a shlump.
Right, right. It's disrespectful to the king. So that's why maybe he didn't come. Not only that, but he was wearing some kind of a leather
gartel or something.
Gartel or belt of some sort.
It was something where he got this.
Where did he get it?
We had before.
Yeah. I don't remember. Okay, in any case, it was some kind of leather thing, which wasn't very presentable, apparently. But the king knew exactly who he was based on this description. And he says, oh, Payoimar, Eliyahu HaTishbihu. This is Eliyahu HaNavi. I know who he is. First of all, how do you know it's Eliyahu HaNavi? Because Eliyahu HaNavi does not want to be embarrassed or to be ashamed from standing in front of kings, no matter what he looks like. And it must be the reason why he didn't come to me directly was because we've got a history. Yeah. Right? I come from the household of Ahav, but Ahav has a long and bitter history with Eliyahu HaNavi. Mm-hmm. So that must be the reason why he's not coming to me directly. Veishlach elav sar chamishim v'chamishav. So what does he do? What does Achaziah do? He sends a sar chamishim, one of his men, with 50 soldiers. Ve'yal elav v'hina yeshav l'reish ahar. Ve'yidaber elav isha alakim ha'melech diber reida. So he's trying to send one of his soldiers, one of his generals, to bring Eliyahu to him. And what happens? The general goes over to Eliyahu, and it was very clear that he's not afraid of him. wasn't scared at all. So he found Eliyahu at the top of a mountain. He goes to the top of the mountain, and he tells him, "You are Isha Elikim, you are the man of God." Right? The king has a message for you. A melech diber. Right? There's a difference between dibur and amira. What's the difference?
Dibur is strong, and amira is not so strong, it's a threat.
Yes.
Dibur. Do this, or. The other way is you talk nicely, please come down.
Right. Right, that's why it says Daber el Bnei Israel, right? To the men, is Dibur, right, which is much stronger. And the Amira is to the women, because they can't
softer.
Handle. Right, softer, yeah. That's one difference. Another difference is that Dibur is a bit more, with a more elaboration. Right, Amira is just a short word. Right, can I have a word with you? Just like a short little thing. So, it says Hamelech Dibur, the Melech sent a whole long message for you. But what did he actually say? Hamelech Dibur, the king had a long, elaborate message. Then he tells him, Reda, come down, which is more of an Amira. Amira is one word. So he's not really telling him the exact words of the king, he's just telling them, come down. Which means that the word Reda, come down, is only the words of who? Of the general himself, not of the king. So he's basically being very disrespectful to Eliyahu. It's one thing if you repeat the word of the king, the message of the king word for word. That's one thing. Okay, so you're repeating the message. But the fact that you're going in and using your own words and you're saying, oh, come down, let's go. Let's go down, right? You get right. You think you just go ahead and give Eliyahu orders? Right? It doesn't work like that. This encounter did not really turn on so well for this general. Let's just see one more pasuk before Mariv. Vayan Eliyahu vayidaber el sar chamishim. So Eliyahu turns to this general, sar chamishim, and he tells him, "V'im isha l'kimani, if I am in fact a man of God, tered esh min ha-shamayim v'toichal oischa v'schamishecha, a fire will come down from the heavens and consume you and your men." And sure enough, v'tered esh min ha-shamayim v'toichal oischa v'schamishav. A fire descends down from the heavens and consumes him and his men.
50 men.
Boom. 50 men, just like that.
Lightning is going to hit you.
Yeah.
That's the first bunch.
Meaning because you're chesvedik towards me, you're going to punish right away. No second chances. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll see what happens with...